In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. We keep today the feast of Pope Saint Martin the First. He is the last pope whom the Church venerates as a martyr because he was effectually put to death by the emperor who hated him. He gained for himself many enemies from the start of his pontificate because of his resistance to a heresy called monothelism, which was very much supported by the emperor, whose name was Constans. And so furious Constans came that he swore he would put the pope death. When the attempts to assassinate him failed, the emperor sent his ambassador to Rome and imprisoned Saint Martin. So the pope was carried into Constantinople, where the emperor lived, and then banished into Crimea, where his sufferings became so intense that he died because of those on this day in the year 655. The sufferings of Saint Martin in the hands of his enemy is one of the heroic samples of a Christian who bears no grudges towards his enemy. I will tell you today a most notable story, which is a true story, confirmed by grave authors, with a hope that it may kindle in your hearts a generous charity towards anyone who may have offended you in any way. In the city of Bologna, there lived a lady who was as noble by birth as she was by her virtue. She was a widow, and she had only one son. He was naturally the single object of her motherly love, the only hope of her heart, and the sole heir of her fortune. Now, when this boy was a teenager, he was one day playing at some ball game in front of his mother's mansion when a stranger passed by, and either by clumsiness or some set of purpose, the stranger disturbed the boy's game. The youth, being a true Italian lad, was of a hot temper, and he turned in anger upon the passerby and began to assail him with some extremely harsh words. The stranger, being even more hot-blooded, then drew his sword and plunged it right into the heart of the boy, leaving him weltering in his own blood. When the stranger realized how horrid deed he had done, now when it was past remedy, he ran in haste and anxiety to the gate of the mansion, totally ignorant of the fact that it was the home of the young man whose death he had just caused. Hurried on by his sense of danger, he flew up the stairs and presented himself before the lady of the house, while still holding in his hand the sword dripping with the blood of this lady's son, and he craved her help. She, who had not a clue about the fatal event, promised him her protection and hid him in her own apartments. Meanwhile, the news of the cruel murder was spreading around the city, and the officers of justice arrived on the spot in search of the assassin. One may well imagine, or maybe it is really impossible to imagine, what were the poor mother's feelings when she heard that the murdered boy was her son. Any natural mother would in these circumstances practically drop down dead for grief. But she didn't, because her great virtue kept her alive. I said she did not drop down dead, but I must tell that she exercised such great self-control as she denied her natural grief and forced her heart to love the murderer and to wish him all the good she desired for her only child. When the officers had gone, she ordered a splendid meal, and she waited upon him herself, and had the heart to pour water on the very hands that were still stained with the blood of her beloved son. After the table was cleared, she addressed the stranger by the name of son. He was, of course, filled with astonishment when he heard himself greeted by so tender name. But the lady turned his amazement into shock by something still more marvelous, saying to him, "I am no longer a mother, since you have robbed me of the only son I had. But I will again be a mother, and of you alone. Henceforward, you shall be my son and heir. For the present, make haste to put yourself in safety, as your life is in danger. Here is a purse full of money. Saddle the swiftest horse in my stables, and hasten to take flight beyond the frontiers." She would have said more, but her tears choked her utterance, and the street in which this extraordinary event took place was even after called the Strada Pia, or Holy Street, in memory of this woman's heroic charity and of so illustrious a miracle of forgiveness. Let this, then, be for the future your revenge to your enemies, to do good to them that ill-treat you. But this, you might object, is too hard and too much beyond the strength of human nature. True, but as we saw today, it does not overcome the powers of grace. For God would never have put upon us the commandment to love our enemies if he would not also be willing to give us the strength needed for its fulfillment. Either you have in you a strong and powerful love for him that offends you, or you have not. If you have it, or if you have it not, pray to God without ceasing, and this prayer shall be for you a protecting shield, and the good Lord will help you in your weakness and give you the strength to love your enemies. And if you have such charity, pray for your enemy. This way your prayer will serve to protect your enemy against every evil. This prayer of yours will give to yourself, who with your own sins have crucified our Lord to the cross, the consoling words of Our Lady addressing you, the murderer of her only child, as son and daughter. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.